Up next, packing up your deer for the winter.
Welcome to the Handy Guys Podcast, a podcast for handy guys from handy guys. Here are the handy guys themselves, Brian and Paul.
All right, Brian, we are at the final episode, I believe, of our John Deere series. Is that right?
That's right. So and we're going to talk about, you know, what do you do when you have your John Deere, tractor or other piece of lawn and garden equipment that you aren't going to use for a long period of time, like over the winter.
Right.
You know, what do you do to kind of shut it down for the season so that, you know, it's going to start
when spring comes along.
When spring comes
along. Or maybe when winter comes along and you're using the snow thrower attachment.
Right. Yeah, you got the snow thrower attachment or maybe a plow blade for the front of it something like that.
All right. Well, if you want to ask us a question about any topic, you can reach the Handy Guys at us@handyguyspodcast.com.
That's obviously the email address.
Yeah, that's our email. You can go to our website. You can sign up for our to be notified of our new podcast right there on our website. Subscribe. Put your email address in there. We won't spam you unless we get hacked or something like that. You think, think that could happen? No, it won't happen.
It will not happen.
And it hasn't happened. In fact, we've probably sent no email other than occasional emails with our show listings at this point. If we do have special deals, though, we'll send them to you. You can also find us on Twitter. We are at Handy Guys.
Correct.
Twitter/Handy Guys as well. Facebook. We are at what? Facebook.com/TheHandyGuys is our fan page.
That's right.
Now, since we are hardware, is that a rotating fan or fan people that like us? What kind of fan page is that?
That's the sort of the Handy Guys page on Facebook.
All right. So you can go out there and see also when we have new posts. It puts it out there.
Yeah.
Sometimes we'll put special information in the on the fan page. Okay. Well, up next, we're going to talk about putting away your mower for the winter.
Got a project on your honey-do list? Let the Handy Guys know about it, and they may talk about it on their next podcast.
Now, Brian, I have this nifty John Deere tractor, as you know, the LA-115.
Sure.
That we've been working with all summer long, and I'll tell you, you know what the best thing about this mower is?
What's that?
It's kind of the obvious. I've cut my mowing time by a third. And
sure.
And you know, that's changed everything because I now can rush home from work, especially when, well, daylight saving's been pushed back so late in the fall anymore that it's not as much of a big deal. It used to be when it changed in October and you still had a few more mowings. You could never, you know, you had to do it Saturday or you were done because by the time you got home, it was dark.
Right.
But now I found, you know, on the days I work late or if I it rained during the weekend, I couldn't do it. So I had to do it on a weeknight. I know I only need about, you know, half an hour of light and I can get the bulk of it done. And that's been saved me grief.
Have you had to use the headlights on it yet?
No, I haven't. And, you know, I don't really like the headlights. Let me put it this way. The headlights are nice, but if it's that dark with all the kids around in my neighborhood, I'm not taking chances.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Because you might, you know, you got headlights, but still you're going to run over a baseball or something
like exactly.
that.
Right, exactly. The headlights would be nice if you were mowing a big field and you're out in a more rural area and it was getting dark and you weren't done yet and you wanted to finish a job. Perfect.
Yep.
So anyway, what are we doing here, Brian? We are coming up here on winter and we will be done mowing. And I'm not going to be using, well, I hope I don't have to use the snow blower attachments this year. Well, if it was winter like last year, maybe I'll want that attachment. But for now, I fully expect that it'll be put away for the duration of the winter. I won't crank it up again until, what, April or so. And I want to know, what do I need to do? We've already talked about maintenance. We have a video on general maintenance, replacing the oil, that sort of thing. But what do I have to do to prepare this mower so it will start up for me in the spring?
Well, the John Deere manual has several things that they talk about, you know, so first thing, check your manual for your John Deere or, you know, whatever kind of mower or piece of lawn and garden equipment that you have and see if there's anything specific in there. And they talk about, you know, repairing any worn or damaged parts. If you've got a scratch in the paint on a metal surface, touch that paint up so that it doesn't rust. Clean out the deck, wash and wax the plastic surfaces. You know, they have a few things. you know, grease, check the tire pressure, things like that.
Brian, are you going to wash and wax? You don't even wax your car.
You know, I might take a hose to it, right? And
all right, yeah,
makes all sense. That. But the main thing...
I once had an HVAC guy that would wax my furnace. I'm thinking that my furnace.
What?
Yeah, they would clean it and put a coat of wax on it, and also on the compressor outside.
Oh, yeah?
On the air conditioning unit, they would wax the top of that. And I thought, man, that thing is better cared for than my expensive. Well, maybe it's not any more expensive than car.
Right.
So.
Well, I never heard of that.
Yeah.
That's pretty neat. Well, but mainly we're talking about the engine here, Paul. So what are you going to do with the engine? And there's kind of the old way and the new way to care for your engine, whether it be in your mower, your tractor, your trimmer, your chainsaw, whatever it may be, your generator, anything that's got a gas engine.
Okay.
What I used to do, Paul, and I may do things differently this year, but what I used to do is just run the engine dry.
Right.
I used to just, you know, let it sit there and idle until it ran out of gas. So I would kind of time my refills of gasoline.
The neighbors didn't get annoyed at that?
No, because I'd make sure I only had enough gas in there to just finish mowing the lawn. And then I'd kind of, you know, on the push mower, I'd use a bungee cord, and this isn't really safe, but, you know, on the dead man or the kill switch, right?
Don't do that at home.
Right. But in other words, find some way to run that engine dry. The same,
sure.
same with the chainsaw, the same with the trimmer, and you run it dry. The reason is, especially if you live near an urban area or in an urban area, your fuel contains ethanol.
Oh, okay. Well, first of all,
okay.
So let's talk about the ethanol. But first, you're saying I should run it dry.
Run it dry.
Is that the green way to do this thing? Aren't I wasting fossil fuels and also creating extra air pollution?
Pollution. Yeah.
And I use that other method you were talking about with a bungee cord, maybe killing somebody.
No. You're not gonna do it if you've got, you know, a full tank of gas. You're not going to do that.
Right? So I'm going to try to just keep putting a small amount in to get just enough to finish the lawn and hope that I only have a little bit left.
Right. And then just run it dry.
Okay. It's sometimes so painful, though. It seems like you have a little bit left and it just keeps running and running.
Keeps running and running and running. Right. But run it dry. And the reason is the gas contains this ethanol.
Right.
Ethanol is a derivative of corn.
Correct.
And it's an alcohol, and they use that to supplement the gas.
Right.
The problem is the ethanol attracts moisture.
Yes, it does.
And it also creates a sort of a varnish slick on the inside of the carburetors of these small engines.
Now, before there was ethanol, did the fuel also cause problems when you left it over the winter? Did it go bad?
Yes, but not as significantly.
So it sounds like it goes bad and it can do damage to the parts inside.
Right. So, you know, the guy that works on my chainsaw and trimmer and, you know, that guy, he's kind of happy about ethanol because his repair business is through the roof.
So what we're really trying to say here, Brian, is that ethanol, while it could be useful because you can obviously grow a lot of corn and add to our fuel supply, it actually is harder on the hardware.
It is, and it can create problems in the engine. So run it dry. Or there's now some additives that you can add in. One brand is called Stabil, S-T-A-B-I-L, is one brand of a fuel stabilizer that you can buy. And what that does is...
Is it stable or Stabil?
I don't know. I call it Stabil.
Okay.
It's S-T-A-B-I-L, right?
All right.
But a fuel stabilizer, it doesn't matter what brand you use, but the Stabil brand comes in blue and red. You know, the blue is you know, the extra, you know...
It's supposed to be like
The better one.
The marine formula,
Do you want to take the blue pill or the red pill?
Right. And I've heard from some old-timers that you got to go for the blue or green or whatever it is. The marine formula does wonders. It really works great, especially with the fuel these days. It has the
It has the extra whatever
corrosive abilities or whatever it is of the ethanol.
Right, but only put that in a full tank. So you're going to mix it in your can, right. and then you're going to fill the tank of the mower up to the top. And make sure you've run fuel with the fuel stabilizer through the fuel system so that it's all the way in the carb and the fuel lines and everything else. Then top the tank off, make sure the gas cap is tight. And then if you've got any extra gas left in that can, just put it in your car or truck. Don't leave it sitting around. And essentially, when you store that gas for a long period of time, whether in the tractor or in the can, have the fuel stabilizer in it and only a completely full can.
So what is there any benefits to going this method than the other of just running it dry, apart from maybe the frustration or whatever, the just having to deal with the thing running, sitting around, waiting for it to die? Are there any benefits to this method?
Of storing it full or versus dry?
Yeah.
Storing it full, you're ready to go. You don't need to, you know, you've got a full tank and you can begin your mowing without having to plan ahead to go buy some fresh gas.
Oh, okay.
Right?
I was just wondering, maybe, I always felt like it wasn't good when you're running it dry because, you know, it runs that last bit. And I guess it's like some mowers, when they get their lubrication from the fuel, when you mix a fuel oil mix, you'd think it wouldn't be good, but I don't know.
Yeah, no. I mean, for my chainsaw, I run it dry. If I'm not going to use it for more than a month or two, I take what little gas is in there, I kind of pour it back into the can, and then I run it dry, and then I take that gas and I put it, even if it's got a little bit of oil in it, gas oil mix, a half a gallon or so mixed in with 20 gallons in the gas tank is going to do nothing.
So this isn't really, there isn't necessarily a benefit of one method over the other. They're just two different ways to do it.
They're two different methods, and they're both recommended by John Deere in their manual. They're both discussed there.
Okay.
And, I've always done the run the thing dry method, but this year I may do the fuel stabilizer method because I may, you know, I may want to move that tractor around, you know, in the winter.
Might want to take it out into the snow or something.
I might want to go do donuts in the driveway or something.
Now, one thing to note is if you're going to run it dry, obviously do it in a well-ventilated area.
Oh,
do it
absolutely.
Outside.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't put it in your garage or anything like that.
Right.
Any kind of mower or a combustion engine.
And then also don't forget to turn the key off or you're going to have a dead battery.
Yeah.
And something that John Deere doesn't mention in their manual regarding winter storage, but you may also want to get something called a battery tender.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a thing that, you know, they're about $30 and, they allow you to plug your battery into the wall and this little device will make sure it's fully charged so that come spring, you don't have a dead battery for some reason.
The other thing I would imagine is if you're going to let this thing run, you need to not walk away from it, especially the tractors, any kind of mower. You don't want kids to get on it, start driving off with your tractor or something like that because the key is in it. So you need to be right there.
Yeah, yeah. Hang around, you know, sit in the lawn chair and have a beverage, something like that, and until it goes.
All right. So basically you clean the thing up. You handle the fuel one way or the other. Is there anything else we need to do to winterize this here John Deere mower? Or is that about it?
If your machine has a fuel shutoff valve, you can close that valve after you're done.
Okay. Up next, we're just going to have we're going to close this episode out. Just talk a little bit about anything else that we haven't already talked about, these John Deeres that we've been using all summer. Maybe note some benefits that we discovered after using it, and we'll talk about that up next.
Don't know where to get reliable answers for your do-it-yourself projects? Why not search the Handy Guys Archive at handyguyspodcast.com.
So Brian, here at the end of every political debate and such, they always say, do you have any closing comments, even though this wasn't a political debate? So what I thought we would do is chat a little bit about your experience. You've had the John Deere LA-115 for an entire summer, as well as I have as well. We've used them in some different situations. You've used them in larger fields, in some wooded areas. I've used it in a more typical suburban environment.
Yeah.
And I thought we could talk a little bit more from our actual experience, maybe some pros and cons of this model. Some things you liked about it, maybe some things that you wish it had, some features that you wish you had that you don't.
Sure. The first thing that comes to my mind for me, and I think we talked about this on a previous show, but cruise control.
Yes.
That would be for me, since I'm mowing this large field behind my house, cruise control would be real handy. But, you know, I'm used to not having it, but it would be nice. But you, on the other hand, for your yard, probably wouldn't come into play at all.
Cruise control, yeah. I mean, in the backyard, when I'm doing the long rows in the backyard, that's where I'm like, oh, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. But I don't have to do it quite long enough to be annoying. But I could see if you had a big field, yeah, that would be a definite feature you'd want to get in there. So you'd get one of the models that has cruise control. The other thing I did notice from I've gotten used to not having the four-wheel steering. I mean, we tried out the models last year, the 300 series that had it, and it's an awesome feature. But now that and when I first went to this model that doesn't have it, I thought, wow, that I really wish I had that feature because I have a lot of obstacles and things to get around. Well, I've adopted to not having it, and so it's not really that big of a deal anymore because I've gotten good.
You've kind of got your pattern
I've learned
down.
Tricks, the right. Patterns to work around it. So it's really. I mean, it still was a nice feature, don't get me wrong, but I don't know.
You can live without
it. Yeah, I can certainly live without it. I don't think about it anymore when I'm mowing. I'm just happy that I'm moving at my 5.5 miles an hour or whatever it is.
Is it that fast? I forget.
Yeah, that's what it is. So the other thing that I noticed that's a little different from this model, the 100 series versus 300 is, and I don't know if I can, I know the definite specs, but it seems that in reverse it doesn't have as much power or... maybe the tires aren't as gripping, like they're not as knobby, because I have to do this one section where I have to reverse up a little tiny hill to get a little patch. And this mower would slip a little, but where the 300 series could handle that reverse motion.
Maybe it was because it was a little heavier of a mower.
It may have been, yeah.
It had a little more pressure on the tire, something like that.
But it doesn't go very fast in reverse, which is fine because you're not really doing much in reverse. And maybe I just don't remember the 300 series that well. But otherwise, for most of the mowing, it cut just as well. You know, I've really been happy with the cut and the clarity and cut of the, right. of the mowing job.
Well, I'll share a little story. I had a little incident with mine. I had a problem with a blade alignment that was caused by... caused by me.
Right. So let's
I hit a stump.
So it is possible to get the deck on this thing out of a line. So when you're not mowing at a level, even though the mower, even you're on a level area, you actually can create an uneven path, right? Because there's three blades on this?
There's two blades.
Two blades. So two blades?
There's two blades on this mower.
Okay. So there is instructions in your manual. If you get it out of a line, they show you how you can level your deck.
Correct.
But the issue you had was beyond that.
It was. And so, first of all, if you're going to go through that process of leveling the deck, the first thing you should do is check the air pressure in your tires, Paul, because that's usually the culprit if you've got just a left to right unevenness.
One tire's lower than the other.
Right. So make sure you're at the proper air pressure. And then there's the way to adjust the deck itself. But yeah, my problem is one of the blades had hit a little stump that was underneath some tall grass. I didn't quite see it. And then the problem I was having was the...
So you were driving over quite a few stumps.
not really. But anyway,
it was in the woods.
One of the blades was
carving out like swaths of Appalachian Trail or something like that.
You're exaggerating a little bit, Paul. But anyway, fortunately, that's repairable, but it's not something you can do by just adjusting some screws.
Right.
So I just consulted with the dealer, brought the deck into the dealer.
Oh, you have done it. Yeah.
And I let him do it. I was going to try to, I looked at some ways of fixing that, but I thought, let me just take it to the dealer and watch him.
They've done it.
They've done it
many times,
lots and lots of times.
Did you actually see him do it?
Yes.
How long did it take him to?
20 minutes.
Yeah, 20 minutes. And you right. would have been, you know, a couple hours just to get your tools together, probably,
right.
to do the job and then not knowing if you're...
Yeah, so 20 minutes and he charged me, I don't know, $30.
Oh, geez, so, that's a good deal.
Yeah.
I'll remember that now right. before I start fiddling around.
So, it was a good deal.
Which is great. A benefit we talked about with the John Deere's is they have their dealers that stand behind them and really know the product. So,
if you get a no-name brand tractor at you know, at Kmart or at you know, some store that sells, you know, bedding and candles and jewelry and fishing poles, and you buy right. your tractor there.
Do they sell them at like Cracker Barrel over in the country part of the store?
I don't know, but yeah, so you go to that store, you know, what are you going to do? Take your tractor back there and say, hey, I got a, you know, my mower deck is a little bit bent.
And while you're working on it, I'll have the old timers.
Right. Right. So, you know, so yeah, getting something that can be serviced locally by a dealer is a huge benefit. And I took advantage of that.
Especially if you're going to be using it in the woods. So, but I haven't had to do any service on mine. I need to change the oil. I'm actually a little late.
Come on,
but, I know I got to do that. And, you know, lubrication and all that, which we show in our video. So right. I'm actually going to refer back to our own video to double check on how
right,
I do it.
Right. I think I'm up to almost 50 hours. What's the 50 hour maintenance? I don't even remember. Uh-huh. We're not going to do a show.
It's
on all,
it's fortunately it's printed on the John Deere itself.
Right. So I'm going to do that.
All right. Well, there you have it. We've both had good experience. We love our LA 115s,
and thank you to John Deere.
Thank you, John Deere. And, go out and talk to your local dealer. We've already had at least one listener who's already purchased a new John Deere.
That's the one we know about.
All right. Yeah. If you've purchased a John Deere as a result of listening to these shows, please let us know. We'd love to hear about it. All right. Thanks for listening.
Thanks. Bye.
The Handy Guys will be back next week. Same handy time, same handy website.